This is continuing coverage in the trial of Alex Murdaugh from True Crime Today.
Welcome back to our continuing coverage. John Marvin, the brother of Alec Murdaugh, testified in the trial of his sibling, who's accused of killing his wife and son. John Marvin claimed that he tracked down Maggie's missing phone using the Find My Phone app and showed investigators the location of the phone before going to search for it himself. The prosecution and defense both questioned John Marvin about his actions, with the prosecution suggesting that his actions may have contaminated the evidence. And the defense suggested that his action showed his dedication to finding the truth. Take a listen.
You know, there were a lot of people at the house at that point.
Do you remember when you got back to the house? At some point in time, people raising questions or bringing up the fact that Maggie's phone had not been located.
So that were, you know, particular the lawyers, they were all, you know, being lawyers, they were, you know, questioning things amongst themselves and, you know, how could this happen, trying to figure things out. But it was brought to my attention that Maggie's phone was not there and that law enforcement had not found it. And I can't say that, in fact, I can probably say that I didn't think of it because I'm not a big phone user or big app user or whatnot. But somebody brought to my attention and says, listen, if Buster or Alec, if they have an app on their phone, like find my phone or find my friends or an app like that, they said you very likely can find out where the phone is if the battery's not dead. And so I went to Buster and sure enough, I said, Buster, do you have this one of these apps like they're talking about? And he said, yeah, sure I do. I said, well, open it up. He opened it up and he handed me the phone and I see Maggie's name and I press it where, you know, to activate it, and it pings Maggie's phone just out front of the property. And I was like, I hate to say it, but I said, holy shit, there it is. And I said, Buster, I'm taking your phone. I'm going to go back down to the shed and show it to law enforcement.
And who did you approach first about the phone?
Well, I don't know who it was. Presumably it was SLED agents, because keep in mind, I didn't know any of these guys with SLED. I mean, there were a couple of faces that I'd seen before, but I don't know these guys. I've come to know them, but I don't know them or didn't know them then. So I went up to a SLED agent or two SLED agents and said, presumably SLED agents, and said, hey, I've got Buster's phone here. And it's got an app on it that can find the phone, and it's showing Maggie's phone's right out here. Let's go get it. And he said, no need. We have technology coming later today that we should be able to find it. And it blew me away that I'm sitting here showing them where Maggie's phone is, but they won't take the time to walk with me or take this phone itself. I mean, I'd give them the phone to go find it. So I walk over. I knew Duffy Stone. He was the solicitor. I knew one of his investigators. I walked over to them, said the exact same thing, and they immediately said, absolutely, let's go find this thing before the battery goes dead.
And what happened?
That we did that. We started walking down the back entrance, or the kennel entrance, if you will. And as we were, and at that time, the agent was holding the phone. You know, I'm looking at it with him. And when it pings, it creates a dot or a location. And that dot jumped from right at the end of that road down the road, I don't know, maybe a half a mile, three quarters of a mile. And so we walked back, got into a car, and drove down to where it was showing the phone.
And was the phone?
And I rode with those agents, the solicitor's office agents.
Was the phone ultimately located on the side of the road?
Absolutely, we found it in a matter of minutes.
Okay. Do you remember how it was collected? I mean, were you present when it was collected?
I was. So I was on. There's a cow pasture on one side, and it's wooded on the other side. And I was on the side that the cow pasture's on, if you will. And I heard him say, "I got it." And so, you know, of course, I walked back beside his car, and I, you know, I'm good ways from it, but I see him over there. And I think he took either some ribbon or some flagging or flagging tape and marked the phone. And I don't think he touched it. I think he left it right where it was, called SLED, and maybe at that time, maybe they had been communicating, but SLED had blocked off the road at this point, and one of the agents came up and picked the phone up. Okay. And I don't know which agent. Again, I didn't know him.
Did any law enforcement officer ask you if you knew the password?
Yes. Yeah, so once they, and I'll say this, so they did take pictures of it while it was on the ground before they touched it. They picked it up. I think they had gloves on. They picked it up, brought it back to the trunk of the car, and opened it up in power zone. And they then asked, you know, what's the password? And of course, I didn't know it.
Did you find out the password?
I did. I called Alec, and he gave me the password. I repeated it to the agent. They put the password in and said, it's open.
So Alec provided you the password that you passed to the agents, and it opened the phone?
Yes, sir. That's correct.
John Marvin, were you aware of a news release that was issued that morning, Tuesday, June 8th, that the public had no need to be alarmed or concerned for their safety?
Yes, sir.
Well, what was your reaction to that?
I mean, it's quite baffling. It still is. Two people have been killed. And they're telling me that everybody's safe. That tells me that whoever's done this is in jail, and they are 100% positive. And because if they're not in jail, nobody's safe.
Right. Did you go back to the residence at Moselle after finding the phone? Did you go back up to the house?
Yes, sir, I did.
And did SLED agents come through and search it while you were present?
They did. I don't know how long I'd been back up there, but they came and we kind of talked in the playroom, or I think some have described it as the gun room. They talked about that they needed to come in the house and search for things.
And did you escort, I think it was Agent McAllister, throughout the house?
Yes, it was Katie McAllister.
And did she tell you what she was looking for?
Initially, she says, the way she presented it was, you know, there were so many people in the house. She said, listen, I don't want to just go barging in and make everybody run out of the house, but I'm going to take my badge off, my gun off, and if you would, just walk me through each room. And, you know, particularly I'm looking for 12-gauge shotgun, guns, and 300 blackout, and the ammunition for those calibers.
And as you're walking through the house with her, it appeared she was looking for other things besides just guns.
Well, yeah, I mean, you could tell she's looking, because she looked in spaces that guns wouldn't fit, so it makes sense that she could be looking for something else.
Such as what?
Well, I don't know.
I understand, but you said spaces. Did she look in the bathrooms?
I opened up up in the upstairs area. There's some cabinets that, you know, a couple of them are pretty small that, you know, she could find ammunition in there, but I don't know how you would get a gun in there.
Did she search bathrooms?
She did. Well, I took her through every room in the house.
Right.
I mean, every single room.
Did you observe her looking in sinks and toilets and,
you know, so yes, sir. What I observed is, like, the shower, for example, it's a door. It's not an open shower. She opened the door and she looked around and, you know, she was looking at, she easily would have known there was no gun in it when she opened it, but it was obvious that she was looking a little deeper.
Right. What kind of guns were there at Moselle?
Well, it sounds like the guns of all kinds, you know, rifles, shotguns. I've seen bow and arrows. I've seen crossbows. Most anything that you would hunt with.
Right. And were guns mostly in the gun room, to your knowledge, when you were over there?
Well, when I went through the house, we identified, I remember one gun in particular that was in the bedroom, a shotgun. I picked it up and said, you need to take this one. And we looked at it, and it was a 20 gauge. She said, no, put that one back. So I put it back. So predominantly all the guns were in the gun room or playroom.
Right. I sort of an aside, briefly, do you hunt with Alec over the years?
I have.
And did he have a go-to gun, to your knowledge, that he would use?
Not to my knowledge, I.
Okay. When's the last time you ever seen him hunt with a 12-gauge?
You know, I'd say that when he bird hunt, he's either shooting a 20-gauge or a 28. You know, there was a time, and please don't ask me when, but I would say it was a few years prior to this that we were turkey hunting on another piece of property down on the Savannah River. And I know he was hunting with a 12-gauge then, but I don't know whether it was his gun or somebody else's.
Did that gun have a sticker on it, do you remember?
It did. And
do you remember what the sticker said?
No, I don't remember what the sticker said, but I do remember teasing Alec that when you're turkey hunting, you don't want to be seen, and, you know, big sticker on the side of your barrel is kind of like waving a white flag to a turkey.
Did did you serve as somewhat of a liaison or the point person with SLED and the family initially?
I don't know that I'd call it a liaison or a point person, but I absolutely I had become to know Agent David Owens, and I absolutely told David, I said, listen, if you need anything from me or anybody and you can't get in touch with them, you reach out to me. I will either see to it that they call you back, I will see to it that you get the answers that you're looking for, or I will put you in touch with the person you're trying to reach. So I did make myself available.
And did Alec give, to your knowledge, carte blanche to law enforcement to search anywhere that they wish?
Oh, he did. In fact, before I was going to just do something, you know, I knew that to be the case, but yes, he confirmed it with me. Anything they needed, any time they needed it.
And you provided consent to search the house the afternoon on the 8th on his behalf, did you not?
I did. And I've consented every time they've ever asked.
We'll get to that. Were you ever asked to provide consent or see if you could obtain consent for any law enforcement to search your mom's house where Alec had been the night before?
Say that to me one more
time. Did any law enforcement ask you to consent or obtain consent so that law enforcement could search Almeda, and I'm talking about on the 8th, because Alec had just been there the night before. Did anybody ask you, hey, can we go search Almeda?
No one asked anything.
Okay. If asked, would you have obtained consent for law enforcement?
I would have given them consent, and I would have taken them over there just like I did at Alec's house, and I would have helped facilitate the search to show them areas that they may not know about.
Do you remember law enforcement SLED agents coming to your Greenfield property on June the 10th?
Yes, sir, I do.
And what was that about?
I assume they coordinated it with Alec or Randy. I'm not sure who they coordinated it with, but yes, my understanding is they were coming to interview me, Randy, Alec, Buster. I think that's it. But they wanted to do interviews with all of us.
Okay. That's the latest that we have for you right now. There's much more to come in the trial of Alec Murdaugh. Be sure to press subscribe wherever you download podcasts so you don't miss any of our discussions and breaking updates on the case. My name is Tony Bruschi. Stay with us.